Sorry, it's a little bit late. Bezrat Hashem, as soon as someone wants to volunteer, hopefully we'll put together booklets like this. We'll have the whole sefer together of the Orot Melchama, along with the sources that we'll be learning together with it. At least a little bit of background of Orot Melchama and Orot in general. Okay, Orot Melchama is written by Rav Kook during World War One. Okay, during World War One, between 1914 and 1918. Maybe just a word or two about Orot itself. Sefer Orot, Kishmo Kenho. The name of the book is indicative of what it is. Right? Orot is lights. And the goal of Orot, in a nutshell, is to light up the entire world through the Meshkefayim of Amunah. It's to teach us how to look at the world and everything that transpires in the world through glasses of Amunah, of Hashkacha, of realizing that God's behind everything in the world, that history is one long godly process. Okay? That through Am Yisrael, Hashem is going to reveal Himself more and more in the world. The famous line of Rav Neria, "Am Netzach Lo Mefachem Derech Arukah." Right? The eternal nation isn't afraid of a long way, and it's a long way. It started with all the way back, right, 5,773 years ago, almost 774 years ago, with the creation of the world. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll get to the Mashiach, and there are ups and downs, and there are all kinds of different complications along the way, and it's complex, but the bottom line is that God's behind everything. And Sefer Orot, in Sefer Orot, Rav Kook tries to teach us exactly how things develop and how to, the different perspectives of which to look at things. Tzvi Yehuda, speaker of Kook, or referring to Rav Avram Yitzhak HaKohen Kook, his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda HaKohen Kook. So he would joke around and say that the year in which his father, together with his father, the family, made Aliyah, was a year that was Beseder for Am Yisrael. Why Beseder? Because it was the year Taf Resh Samach Dalad, okay, 1904. Beseder, switch around the letters. It was the year that was Beseder for Am Yisrael. It was Taf Resh Samach Dalad when they made Aliyah. On the other hand, the year Taf Resh Ayin Dalad, right, was a Rida, like an earthquake for the world. And that was the year of the breakout of World War I, right, Taf Resh Ayin Dalad in 1914. Perek Aleph, which we're about to dig into, okay, Perek Aleph itself, it discusses the reality. Orot HaMechama, obviously, we'll see, talks about the development of history and how wars and what wars are, which we'll get to right at the beginning of Perek Aleph. And we'll see that Perek Aleph deals with, A, the existence of wars in the world, and more importantly, their significance. Right? What the mashmut, what the significance of wars are. A, in general, and if you look, if you have everyone should have two sheets. Besides, there's one that's Perek Aleph and another one that's a bunch of collected makaros. They're middle of the table if you need. If you look about halfway through Perek Aleph, so Rav Kook writes, Milchemet Holam Shel Achshav. Want to see that? Milchemet Holam. Those are the two halves of Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph is first wars in general, and then the second half of the Perek, he gets into World War I in specific. Okay, so let's get started. Orot HaMechama Perek Aleph. Kishayesh Milchama Gdola Bolam, Mitorer Koach Mashiach. Eit Hazamir Higia, Zmir Aritzim, הרשעים נכחדים מן העולם, ועולם מתבשם, וכל התור נשמע בארצנו. היחידים הנספים בלא משפט, שבתוך המהפכה של שטף המלחמה, יש בה ממידת מיתת צדיקים מחפרת. עולים הם למעלה בשורש החיים, ועצמות חייהם הביא ערך כללי לטובה ולברכה על כלל בניין העולם, בכל רחב ומובניו. Rav Kook comes out shooting, right? A very cooking-like statement starts off, Kishayesh melchama gdola ba'olam, mitorer koach ha-mashiach. Everyone thinks about war. Right? We ran around the room before we started and said, okay, everyone, quick, associative thinking. What do you think of when you think of war? When you ask Rav Kook, what do you think of when you think of war? His answer is, Mashiach. What's the connection between war and Mashiach? Let's see. Everything in life, right, as religious people, we have to, and serious people, even before we get to religion, is not just to look at things superficially, but to look at the premise, to understand beneath the surface what it's really about. And what Rav Kook tells us is when we peel outside the external layers of war, the premise of war is the awakening of the Koach HaMashiach. How does that happen? How does Mashiach awaken more and more as we go through war after war after war after war after war? Wars, especially when they're significant wars, very, very often jumpstart revolutions. Says Rav Kook, all the revolutions that happen in the world, the common denominator is in the inside, It's an advancement of the process of revealing God in the world more and more, which is the process of the revelation of the Mashiach. If you look in the first source you have, source Aleph, there's a Medrash in Bereshit and Bereshit Rabbah. Anyone have that second sheet? The Medrash there darshans of the war. Right? Again, we're dealing with wars. It's not by chance. It's by wars. The war by Avram Avinu, familiar with the story, right? The kings. Right? The Medrash says he has three different names. Kosh, Nimrod, Amraphel. Kushi, Akushi, Vadai, Nimrod, Shemin, Mered, Bolam, Amraphel, Shaitai, Amriotoa, Fila, the Amri, Vahli, Bahama, the Amri, Vafil, Avram Avinu, Shavar, Yarad, Lakhifshach, Esh. Toby goes on. And then he says, now let's look at the last two lines. Amr Balazar bar Avina. Imraita machiot mitgarot elu ba'elu. Tzve l'raglosha Mashiach. Says the Medrash, right? If you see a war going on, if you see wars going on, you see that there are different kingdoms, there are different kings fighting with one another, what should you anticipate? Raglosha Mashiach, the foot of Mashiach. How do we know? Says the Medrash. Teda. Shechein, teda shechein. Sharei bimei Avraham ha'yideshin et geru ha'machiyot eilu ba'eilu ba'agulal Avraham. Meaning, what was the bottom line? After all this dust settles, after the wars, the kings, what happens? Avram brings Lot back home, and Avram becomes wealthy. We have Malki Tzedek. We have the Melech Hasdom that wants to give him, and Avram says, I don't want to take wealth from you. And Avram becomes a public figure. Why is that significant? Because what's Avram's goal in life? What does Avram do? He goes from place to place, and he's Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. What does he mean Vayikra B'Shem Hashem? He stands on a mountain like a breast of chas and just yells out, Hashem! What's he doing? What's Vayikra B'Shem Hashem? That he's calling out the name of Hashem, that he's spreading the messages of monotheism. His belief in God with others. He's revealing God in the world. But all that really gets going with the Geula, and then from there, Brit Ben Batarim and Bris Mila and etc., the Jewish people, it all gets started. Dafka is the result of the wars. Chora, this Medrash, is the makor for where Rav Kook writes here. Right? Rav Kook, we said, Kishiyesh Machama Gdola Ba'olam Mitorer Koach HaMashiach. But, it's time we're yeshiva guys, right? So we don't swallow things so easily. If they ask an important question about a certain word in this Medrash, what word seems a little bit strange? In fact, Yeshua skipped it when he read it. He said, "Machiot migarot ze'elu be'elu tzvalu." What should you anticipate? He said, "Mashiach." But what does the Medrash say? Raglo shel Mashiach. What do you think that means? Raglo shel Mashiach, the foot of Mashiach. What's the foot of Mashiach? What do you say? The Medrash says, "Anticipate the foot of Mashiach." The beginnings of Mashiach. What do we call the process of that people say that chalta de gula, right? It's the beginning of the gula, but there's another expression. Ikvara de Mashiach. What does it mean, ikvara de Mashiach? The footsteps of Mashiach. Meaning, the Mashiach hasn't gotten there yet, but the first thing that comes in the door, that passes the doorway is the foot. It's the very, very beginning. Why the foot? Until the Mashiach comes himself, it's going to take time. But there's the very, very beginning. There's signs along the way. Whether it's the foot itself, or even before the foot, there's the footsteps that tell me that the Mashiach is coming. We say every morning in davening of Valat Zion, right? Nechye, v'nireh, v'nirash. What do we say? Tova, uvracha, le, shnei, yimot Mashiach. And there we can ask the same question. What does it mean, le, shnei, yimot Mashiach? Shnei means years. Yimot means days. Are we downing for the days of Mashiach, or are we downing for the years of Mashiach? But again, it's not black and white. There's complexity. There are different levels. There's the days, there's the years, there's the steps. It's a process. Anyone know when the Mashiach is born? We know the birthday of Mashiach. Not just on Tisha B'Av of some random year, but the exact day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Beis Hamikdash was born. Anyone know what the source is? If you look down in your sheets, you'll see it. It's fascinating medrash. Look at that medrash here. Rav Yehuda b'shem Rav Aibo. Uvdahava b'chad barnash dahava karad. So there's a story of a certain guy that was sitting there and he was plowing his field. got chada turte. So all of a sudden, he's plowing his field, and one of his oxen snorts. What would you do if you were plowing your field, Ezra? And all of a sudden, your oxen snorts. So you wouldn't have a field. If you had a field, you wouldn't be plowing it. If you were plowing it, you wouldn't be plowing with an oxen. But let's just say, right? There you are, and it snorts. So you move on with your life. No. Avar lai chad aravi, so one of the Arabs walked by. Amar lai ma'at. He says to this guy plowing his field, he says, who are you? What are you? Amar lai yudayan. He says, I'm a Jew. Amar lai. What? The farmer. He answers. The farmer says he's a Jew. Amar lei shari tarach v'sharei panach. So he says to him, if that's the case, if you're a Jew, untie your ox, untie the harness he's carrying. In other words, stop doing malacha. Amar lei lama, why should I stop working? Amar lei debeit migdashon diudai charav. He says, because I'm telling you the news that the Beis HaMikdash Lachor, it's coming out in Bavel, right? It's in Aramaic. He knows there in Bavel, when he hears the ox snort, that the Beis HaMikdash of the Jewish people was destroyed. If you're a Jew, you need to be an avelus. You have to stop working. Amalei Manayadat. He says, how do you know? Meaning, who told you? Amalei Yadat Min Gaita De Torach. He says, I know from the snorting of your ox. Very interesting. So while they're in the middle of talking, his axe snorts a second time. Amar lo asar torach, asar panach, didiale pirkenu diudai. So the nomad walking by says to him, you should tie up your axe again, put on his yoke. In other words, you could start working again. Why? The savior of the Jewish people is just born. Again, the axe snorted a second time. Amalei Umashmei, what's his name? Amalei Menachem Shmei. Vavuye Mashmei, what's his father's name? Amalei Chizkia. He's Menachem, the son of Chizkia. Amalei Vehechanshan, where is he? Amalei Bebirat Arava de Bebeit Lechem Yehudu. That he's in the capital of Arabia, in Beit Lechem. Beit Lechem Yehuda. So, you don't have to be a historian to know who took this medrash and what they did with it. But in any case, sure, here we see the bottom line is that on the day that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Mashiach is born. The question is, obviously there's a lot of symbolism here. What's the idea of the snorting and this and being born at the same time? So if you look in the Netzach Yisrael by the Maharal relates to this, and it says, well, Hichach, source Gimel, Kasher Gat Pam Rishona Amar Shecharav, right? When he snorted the first time, he said he was destroyed. Vam Shniyah Amar Shenolad HaMashiach, the second time he said the Mashiach was born. Ki Kfar Amanu Lemala Ki Churban HaBayit Hu Siba LaVeyato. Okay, think about this sentence. The destruction of the Mashiach, everything in the world is a cause and effect. The destruction of the Mashiach is the cause of its coming to re-existence. Mipnei Shadavar HaShalem Lo Yitaveh. Meaning something that's complete won't be created because it's already complete. I mean, there was no need for Mashiach in the world until the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Therefore, once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we then, on that very day, begin the process of longing for it to be rebuilt. That process of longing for it to be built coincides with the birth of the Mashiach. Doesn't mean a physical, literal birth. And it doesn't mean that there was a baby that was born that 7 days later, right, is going to have a bris milah. It's not what it means. Ki ein hachachamim medabrim minyan hagashmi klali. So you read Chazal, and I don't think they're telling you it's literal. Right, it's something that's abstract. Ratzonan lamar shen olana Mashiach. What is their intention that the Mashiach is born? The hainim mitzad etzem koach haMashiach shenumtza b'olam. The force of the Mashiach that exists in the world started from that day. There was no sheiches for Mashiach in the world. Now there's a new koach that didn't exist before. Now there's a longing for the Mashiach. There are people longing for the Beis HaMikdash to be built. I mean, there's something that's lacking. There's something that's missing. And the lacking, the missing, is the cause of it wanting to come about. The other things that get in the way. There's still forces of tumah in the world. Until Hashem takes them out, Hashem decides it's worthy. The whole concept of Mashiach was born, which didn't exist previously. So, So on the day, from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the concept of Mashiach is in the world. The fact that concept is in the world means that everything is ready. What has to happen? The seed's in the ground. It's just a process. Time has to pass. There's complications. There are ups and downs. But overall, even with the ups and downs, overall, if you look at from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, okay? From the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, a little bit less than 2,000 years ago, until we are today, the general megama is the Mashiach being revealed more and more and more, okay? And more, bringing us closer and closer to the Geula, which will ultimately happen, which hasn't happened yet, full. Correct? What we're going to see here is that what brings that about is wars. And the bigger the war, the bigger the awakening, and the bigger the revelation, and the bigger we're getting closer to the Mashiach. Ratzvi Yehuda told the story. Anybody know what day World War I broke out? Tisha B'Av. Now imagine as a Jew, what you think when a war, and a huge war breaks out in Tisha B'Av. Good for the Jews or bad for the Jews?
Bad.
I'm saying if you're a betting man, historically, Tisha B'Av, throughout the ages, right? The Mishnah counts five things, but since then many, many more things have happened. Even in our times, right? The Tisha B'Av is a day that traditionally is bad news for the Jews. And everyone around was freaking out. Rav Kook said, Ein ma lefached. There's nothing to be afraid of. Quoting his words, Milmechama hazot hatzmiach yeshuot gdolot la'am Yisrael. From this war, will sprout out tremendous salvations for the Jewish people. That's what Rav Kook said on the first day of the war. The ideology and the theory that stands behind it, he's writing about here in Orot HaMachama. Sheyesh Machama Gdola Ba'olam Adorek Koch HaMashiach. Not every single little skirmish, but when there's a big war, the Koch HaMashiach is awakened more and more. The bigger the war, the more the awakening. Let's move on to the second sentence. Eit HaZamir Higia. What is the word Zamir? Good. It's Pasach from Shir Hashir. What does the word Zamir mean? Like Zmirot Shabbat, right? It means singing. Zamir means singing. On a simple level. And if that's the case, then what does it mean? Eit HaZamir Higia? How does the Pasach continue?
V'kol
HaTor Nishma Bartzen, right? Eit HaZamir Higia. Kol HaTor Nishma Bartzen. So what does the Pasach mean in Shir Hashirim? The time of singing is coming. What singing is it referring to? No, Pashas, literally. What does the pasuk mean? Eit hazamir higia, the time the singing has come. Kol hator, shema bartzen. What's kol hator? The voice of the? No. It's a shore. Tor, Hebrew.
Bird.
Bird, right? A turtle dove. A tor, neshema bartzen. In other words, the singing and the chirping of the birds. It's describing the spring. Right? After the winter, the spring, the blossoming, the chirping of the birds. That's the simplest thing of zamir. But here, Rav Kook's going to take it in a different direction. Zamir, anyone think of another meaning of the word zamir? Zmira, to prune. Such as in the Pasuk, Karmecha lo tizmor, right? Talking about Shemitah, we talk about not going ahead and pruning your vineyards. Those that have learned Hilchot Shabbos know that one of the toldot of the malach of Zorea is Zomer. So what happens in Zmirah? You cut something back. Why is it a told of Zorea? To cut something is to ruin something.
No, you're cutting it back to.
Because you're cutting it back in order to improve it for it to then go as a result and to grow more. Right? Just like a hair. If you cut someone that wants to keep their hair healthy, the more frequently they cut the hair, the more the hair will grow, ironically. If you're cutting it shorter, it grows. That's Zamir. So what's being cut here, says Rav Kook? Eit HaZamir Higia Zmir Aritzim. HaRisha'im Nichtchadim Min Olam V'Olam Mitbasem. What's Zmir Aritzim? What's Zmir Aritzim? So look in the Pesukim here. Look in Yishtar and Yishayahu. Sarah, the Pesuk in Yishayahu, Ki Cherev Etzion, She'on Zarim, Tachniah Cherev Batzel, Av Zmir Aritzim Yaneh. Okay, that's the expression of Cook says here, Zmir Aritzim. Okay, what Aritzim are like the noblemen's people being cut down. The Radak says, Zmir and Yan Krita cutting down, Kimo V'chamrachalo Tizmor, Yaneh and Yan Kniah. Right? Humbling or submitting, submitting. Kimo la anot mpnei haritzim hema akum. Rashi in Az Yashir, v'lashon v'zimrat. Right, we say in Az Yashir, ozi v'zimrat ka. What does that mean? Ozi v'zimrat ka. It doesn't mean singing, says Rashi. V'zimrat lashon lo tizmor. Zmir aritzim lashon kasuach v'krita. That Hashem is going dead and He's knocking them out. Uzov v'nekamti shel Eloheinu haya lanu lishua. That Hashem's revenge, Hashem knocking out the goyim, the Mitzrim, was for us a salvation. Look at the Medrash in Shir HaShirim. Also, Hanitzanim niru ba'aretz, Metzotot niru ba'aretz, Ezo ze Moshe v'Aron. I mean, what are the Nitzanim? Moshe v'Aron. V'yom Hashem Moshe v'Aron ba'aretz Mitzrayim le'mor. Eit ha-zamir igia. How does the Medrash understand the words? Eit ha-zamir igia. Zmano shel Yisrael et ga'el. Right? When Hashem says, Eit ha-zamir igia, the time of the Zamir, which at first we thought means singing, but here he says it means more than that. It means knocking out the Rishayim has come. Understands the Medrash that means that it's the time of the Jewish people to be redeemed from Mitzrayim. Higiaz man hashal orlash tizamer. Higiaz man shal Mitzrayim shizamru. Higiaz man avodah kochavim shalahen ta'aker. Shenemar v'chol Elohei Mitzrayim aseh shvatim. Higiaz man shal yam shivaku meimav. V'yavku amayim. Higiaz man shal shirah shetomer az yashim Moshe. Ron tavchul amar. Higiaz man shal tuzmirot l'kadosh baruch hu. He dafka understands l'shon tuzmirot the other way. And the other few places there in the Medrash. Look in Lamed Aleph. Eight has a mir higia. He goes through history. He gives man shal orla shidizamer. He gives man shal knanim shizamru. He gives man shal et Yisrael lechalek leYisrael. Lamed bet. Eight has a mir higia. He gives man shal orla shidizamer. He gives man shal rishaim shishavru. He gives man shal bavlim lishamed. Again, it goes through the history. It's the Egyptians, and then it's the seven nations of Canaan, and then it's the Babylonians, and it's the Persians, and then it's the Greeks, and then it's the Romans. The bottom line is, right? We know that the Lashon of Yaakov and the Lashon of Ekev, the Ekev of the Mashiach, that who's going to be left at the end of the day with all the mighty superpowers that lived in world history and ruled the world once upon a time, the ones that will be left in the end, right? And no one will believe. Everyone's familiar with the famous piece of Mark Twain about the Jewish people that defy all odds, that you're going to be left. But the Zamir is the Zamir Aritzim. So if that's the case, let's look back in our line here in Arot HaMelchama. Eit HaZamir Egia is Zamir Aritzim. Harishaim nechadim in olam, v'olam itbaseim. The Rishaim are knocked out or destroyed from the world, and the world's going to become a better place. So if so, Rav Kook understands Zamir in the second understanding, right, of cutting down. On the other hand, indirectly, it's also the first understanding. Why indirectly is it also the first understanding? Because by the knocking out of the Rishaim and knocking out of the evil in the world, that coincides with the singing of the birds and the chirping of the birds. What's the nimshal? The chirping of the birds that come to let us know the spring's here. It's the
snort of the eye.
It's letting us know that the Gula is on the way. The Besorah, the Mashiach is on the way. Think about the spring and the winter. What's the relationship between the spring and the winter? When the birds chirp and all of a sudden the flowers start blossoming in the spring, it's not just something that comes after the dark winter. But it's a result of the dark winter. I mean, it's not just that you have the winter where everything is barren, all the trees are barren, everything's dark and it's gloomy. And then after the darkness, we have the light and the pretty and the blossoming and the beautiful. But we know that as a result of the winter and the darkness and the rain and the cold, dafka, out of that blossoms the spring. It's the same thing with the wars. With the wars and the destruction and the zmira, and the second definition of the cutting down, ends up bringing the Zemen. Now, to take a parenthetical note here, a war is something very, very important to understand. A war is not Rishus HaYachid. A war is Rishus HaRab. What does that mean? A person can get into a fight with their sibling. That's not a war. Talk about sibling rivalry. It's not a war. A war is something of the cloud. It's not just quantitatively because there are more people involved. It's because war is out of control of any given individual. A person could decide to pull a trigger and shoot a bullet. Whether shooting one bullet and killing one person is going to blow up into a war or not blow up into the war, that's already out of man's hands. Right? Think about World War I, for example.
That's how it happened.
Right? How did World War I start?
We killed the Archduke.
Who killed?
One person killed the Archduke.
Right? Filippo goes ahead, he assassinates Franz Ferdinand, the Archduke of?
Serbia.
Prussia.
Of Austria. Of Austria. And with that, another thing leads to another, and we have a world war, which didn't. What's called a world war at the time wasn't called World War I, right? It was a world war, but it was the first time in the history of the world they had such a big and that magnitude of a war between different nations. Now, let's.
The Great War.
But it was called the World. I mean, afterwards it was called the World War, but it wasn't called World War I. Now, not to misunderstand, a war is tragic. And anyone that doesn't think so is sick in the head. A war is a tragic thing. Many, many people are killed. But nothing happens stam. Nothing happens just kas kachas. But everything's calculated by Kadosh Baruch. Everything's part of the plan. Rav Tzvi Yehuda would say that wars are Seder Elokim. They're God's, it's God's way of making order, right? Everyone knows the way it works. I think about your room back at home, right? If you're normal, you never kept your room too tidy, right? Things would pile up. And at a certain point, it got out of control. Either you decided for yourself, or more likely your mother came in and told you how to, and all of a sudden you had to then go ahead and reshuffle everything. When the world becomes too much of a mess and God wants to clean it up, you know what He does? Milchama. Milchama is Hashem's way of shuffling up the world and putting things back in order. Hashem pulls the strings from above, even in life and death. And that we already see in the famous Gemara in Ketuvah and Daf Lamed. Okay, you have in the source Chet on the second sheet here. V'amar Rav Yosef, v'chein tani Rav Chia. Even though the Sanhedrin was nullified, the four death penalties were not nullified. Asks the Gemara, lo batlo, ha batlo. What do you mean they weren't nullified? There was no one carrying out capital punishments. Rather, the Gemara, flipping over the page onto Laman on the bed, answers, Ella din arba mitot lo batu. The din of the four penalties was not nullified. Mishin et chayv skila, o no fil maragag, o chayat d'orsto. Someone that's chayav skila, either he falls off of a roof, or if he's devoured by an animal. Mishan et chayav sreifa, no fail, but leka on a chashma achisha. Someone that's chayav the mitzvah of sreifa, either is falls and consumed by a fire, or he's bitten by a snake. Mishan et chayav hariga on himself lamanchus, he's given over to authorities. Or listening by him love, or he's caught in the middle by burglars that kill him. Mishan et chayav chenek, or toveya banahar, right? Death through strangling, either drowns in sea, right, or dies through some kind of disease. The Kitzur, what does that tell us? That even though it's not carried out, and there's no Drisha and Chakiram, Edim, and there's not the whole process in the Beitin, the bottom line is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls the strings from above, and that's what goes on in wars as well. That Hashem is pulling the strings, things are happening. So what is the Mitat Rishaim? Meaning Rav Kook said, Eita Zemir Egiya, Zemir Yitzim Rashim Nichadim in Olam, what's the result? The Olam Mitbasem. What does it mean, the Olam Mitbasem? From the Lashon of Bisamin. It's a good smell. The world, it cleanses the world to a certain extent. The world is now a better place. As a result of wars and the getting rid of the Rishayim, the world's a better place. What's the obvious question that in wars? It's not just Rishayim that are killed, right? There are also other innocent people, maybe even righteous people that are killed. Right? That Rav Kook will relate to soon. We'll see if we get there today. If not, B'zat Hashem next week. But right now, in terms of the Rishayim, it's cleansing of the world, and therefore kol hator, the chirping and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The koach of Mashiach has more mitawer, is awakened more and more. The koach of the geula be'artzenu. Why be'artzenu in our land? I know b'zrat Hashem when the Mashiach comes, it's going to be a bracha for not just here. It's going to be a bracha for the entire world. But where is the bracha going to begin from?
Here.
Here. Ki mitzion. Everything comes from here. The koch of the geula, the bracha of the world. Right? We'll learn later on in the Rotem Achmar. Rav Kook talks about that as well. You see the psukim inside. It also says by all the avos. The brachas come from here. So to summarize, right? Yesh melchama ba'olam. We have the awakening of the koch of Mashiach. The eita zemir igia. Rav Kook immediately understands as knocking out of the Rishayim. The knocking out of the Rishon makes the world a better place. It cleanses the world. When it cleanses the world, then we also have the second definition of Eita Zemir Egia. Comes the bird chirping to let us know the good news that the Koach HaMashiach is on his way. The revelation of Hashem is more and more. Hashem is more revealed in the world. There is more of a Gula. But yeah, it took me a few more minutes, so let's move on a little bit further. Hayichidim HaNispim V'lo Mishpat. And here he's going to relate to those who are not Rishaim. Hayichidim HaNispim V'lo Mishpat. שבתוך המהפכה של שטף המלחמה יש בה ממידת מיתת צדיקים המחפרת. He says, those that die in the war are not just Rishon, obviously. So first of all, we have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a lot of different factors. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his own cheshbonot, so we don't always understand. We don't always understand how Kadosh Baruch Hu and how he makes decisions in life and who's going to live and who's going to die and when and where and how. Right? Famous story of the Chassid, right? That said, someone who's trying to help show him how he's dumb, a fool, because he doesn't understand his God. The Chassid said, "Oy voy voy," to someone, right, that believes in a God who he understands. Because if you understand your God, you understand everything about him, so then what makes the difference between God and man? That's not for the idea that man is finite and God's infinite. And there are things about an infinite that finite is not going to understand. And that's Beseder. God has other calculations. It's not always about Sechar Va'onesh. And even if someone's not deserving of Onesh, for some maybe he's deserving of Onesh and you don't know. But even if he's not deserving of Onesh, that does not mean that there wasn't a reason. One of the things he brings down here, it has a Mida of Midat Tzadikim HaMechaperet, that the death of tzaddikim, the death of tzaddikim brings kapara to the world. So Gemara and Moed Katan you have here in source 9, source Tet, Moed Katan and Daf Kuf Chet Amar Aleph. Amar bi Ami, Lam and Ismacha Mitat Miriam le Pasha Paraduma. Right? Why in the Torah do we find juxtaposed the death of Miriam to the Pasha Paraduma? Chukat Lamar Lecha Ma Paraduma Mechaperet Af Mitatan Shat Tzaddikim Mechaperet. Just like Para Aduma brings kapara. So too does the death of Tzadikim bring kapara. Marav Azar Lamanis Machamitat Aaron like a big day kahuna. The death of Aaron a Kohen to the big day kahuna. Ma big day kahuna mechatlin. Just like the big day kahuna, as we learn in Pasha Tetzava, brings kapara. So too does the death of Tzadikim bring kapara. So here brings kapara. What does it mean that the death of Tzadikim brings kapara? What's the connection to the kapara through the death of Tzadikim? So first of all, on an individual level, when a Tzadik is nifter, where does his neshama go? Up into the Shemaim, up to Olam Haba, and that for him is a good thing. And that's what he writes here. Olim heim lamala b'shorah shachayim, v'atzmut chayehem evi erech lalit tova alavar chal klal minyan olam b'chol arachav muvenav. So first of all, the neshama goes up lamala to the shorah of life. Again, the neshama comes from the source of life from Kadosh Baruch Hu and then returns there. But here, Rav Kook says a second thing. It's not just that mitam tzadikim mechaperet, that it's for them. It brings general good and bracha for the entire world in all of its aspects, in all of its values, in all of its understandings. How? So here are the two explanations. On a literal, simple level, we could say is that when a tzaddik dies, it shakes people up. You go have an opportunity to be at a levaya of a gadol b'torah. You go to a tzad, so just the experience of being there in the mamada, that in itself is something that gives chizuk. The person's there, it shakes people up, it wakens them to start thinking, to do cheshbon nefesh. And when a tzaddik dies, and everyone's experience as a result of the tzaddik's death wakes them up, they do cheshbon nefesh, and that automatically is going to elevate the world. So that's on a level of the nigla. On the level of the nistar, on a hidden level, tzaddikim have neshamot, that when they're in this world, the neshamas aren't always in this world, right? We talk about tzaddikim have kochos. They're connected. Even when they're in this world, they're connected to the upper worlds. They have connections. They're protected, right? The same way a tzaddik, when he's in this world, he's connected to the upper worlds. When he makes it to the upper worlds, he still remains, to a certain extent, he remains, apik kabbalah, connected to these worlds. Tzaddik yisod alam. Tzaddikim are the foundations of the world. And therefore, even in the upper worlds, when the tzaddik's there, and he's oleh, he can bring kapara, and from above, he can pull strings to elevate the world. Again, la'at la'at, kima, was said before. Right? But to bring the world up to a better place. That's as far as the death of Rasham in the wars, the death of tzaddikim wars. But we're still up for the question, which is, what about people that aren't Rasham, nor are tzaddikim? Bezrat Hashem, we'll pick up with that, Bezrat Hashem, next week. So in general, we'll start right after the information meeting. For whatever reason, there's no information meeting, so we'll start here at 3:30. If we can have a volunteer to speak to Hanan, I could give the originals of this to photocopy it and bind it. So that way we could give up the chavrot, so we could just have one chavrot of all the stuff together, and not have to each week have separate pieces, loose pieces of paper.